to Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse number 1. And it's a passage that should be familiar to all. Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 1, continuing to verse 13. Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 1, continuing to verse 13. Last week we looked at Luke chapter 5 and we saw this tremendous haul of fish and the result of all those things that happened as a result of that. And we saw the power of Christ on display. This week we'll be looking forward of that in Luke chapter 4. Where Jesus is led up to the wilderness by the Spirit of God. That's important. Remember that. By the Spirit of God. Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during these days. When they were ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, and said to him, "To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will be all yours." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you. And on their hands, they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, "It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. Interesting. I said to verse 13, but we're only going to, "And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed him until an opportune time." Amen. For a brief thought to our scriptures this morning, wilderness test. Wilderness tests. This chapter opens up. Jesus has just been baptized by John the Baptist. And he has come up out of the water. And the Spirit descends on him as a dove. Confirmation number one. And then out of heaven comes a voice that says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Number two. After this, he is led by the Spirit of God into the wilderness. Wait a minute. Led him into the wilderness. This wilderness was not quite the wilderness that John was preaching in, John the Baptist was preaching in. It still had some remoteness to the one that he was preaching from. But Jesus was in a wilderness where there was no Taco Bells. There was no ease and comfort. The Bible says that there were wild beasts with him where he was. Listen. In my trusting of God, oftentimes he takes me where there is no more help around me. He takes me to a place, Brother Ernest, where I now have to trust solely on him. I can't trust no more on my education. I can't trust no more on my 401k. I got to trust on God himself. Now, by the Spirit of God, he takes Jesus from where he was baptized from, and he takes him to the wilderness for some testing. Oftentimes, you know, when they do a new car pass and stuff, you know, they have to road test it and make sure it does exactly what it's supposed to do. Man, if they say it's a performance car, they got to get out there and they got to, brother, sister should know about that with that Corvette out there. You got to step on the gas and make sure it does accelerate the way it's supposed to. I'm not saying she's drive fast or nothing, but you have to make sure that it does what it says it's going to do. The Spirit of God moves Jesus into the wilderness so we can peer in and see exactly who he is and exactly how much power he's wielding. Now, he's moved by the Spirit. Let me ask y'all a question. How in the world did Jesus operate when he was in his ministerial role on this earth? Now, remember, he was God Almighty. He had unlimited power. But my question is, how in the world did he operate when he was on this earth? Number one, it wasn't by his own power. Did you hear what I said? The Bible says the Spirit of God led him into the wilderness. And if you read your Bibles, which I'm sure all you do, you will see that he was anointed with the Spirit without measure. He did not use his own power. He was motivated and empowered by the Spirit of God. An example to those of us who are in Christ. Zechariah 4:6. Let's go there real quick. Zechariah 4:6. Zechariah 4:6. Whatever you do in the kingdom of God, it better be by the Spirit of God. Amen. And if it's not by the Spirit of God, you're not exercising and doing them things you're supposed to do. Zechariah 4:6. I see somebody got some pages sticking together. Sister Lisa, how you doing? Zechariah 4:6. Somebody read that for me, nice and loud. Sister D, you looking right at me. I love you so much. Okay, amen. The temple, the context of that, is that the temple is to be built. God says, I'm going to tell you who's going to start it, and by my word, he's going to finish it. And he's not going to finish it with a lot of horses and chariots. He's not going to finish it by a great amount of money. He's going to finish it by my Spirit, period. If you're in the kingdom of God, you better be operating by the Spirit of God in order to really, really finish the course. Can I say, if you're not operating by the Spirit of God, you running out your lane? Y'all understand what I'm saying? We all running a race, and it takes the Spirit of God, Pastor, to keep us in our lane. Because if I'm not guided by the Spirit of God, I'm off to the side here. And if you're in a track meet, if you're out of your lane, they will disqualify you. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says Jesus, being led by the Spirit of God into the wilderness to be tested. Jesus has such a will just to do exactly what the Father told him to do. it was independent of his bodily desires. Even if he was hungry, he had a will to do exactly what the Father told him to do. Let me encourage you all. Well, I'll ask you a question. How serious is it for you to do the will of God when you're hungry? You understand what I'm saying? The desires, they are beckoning. Fill me, fill me. And the word of God and the actions of God are asking you to do exactly what he told you to do, but you said, I'm hungry. Jesus' business was to do exactly what the Father told him to do, even independent if he was hungry. Just a reminder, you all. Go to John chapter 4, verse 31 to 34. John chapter 4, verse 31 to 34. John chapter 4, verse 31 to 34. You all, listen, why are you going there? There's another contrast I want to drop on you. Do you know Adam had a perfect environment? He had everything he needed. I mean, food, the weather was perfect. Everything was producing like it was supposed to do. And he had a perfect environment. But listen, it's amazing how an enemy can come in and make you discontent with a perfect situation. Listen, my wife, interesting look. My wife, if now this is God's perfect gift for me. Oh, you listen to me. She's everything I need in a woman because that's who God gave me. Now, the enemy can, Pastor, tip in and say, ooh, what if you had somebody like this over here? And an interesting thing is, I've already got everything I need right here. And my problem oftentimes, Ernest, is that I'm too busy looking on the side and not looking at the perfection God has given me. Now, he had a perfect environment. Everything was good. The enemy smoothed in and say, you are missing some knowledge here. And God is holding back some knowledge from you. Perfect situation. Y'all catch me? Yeah. That's why you have to be informed so that you don't get duped. I'm going to get to that verse here. Listen, I was watching the Pastors of L.A., Pastor. And it's a show, what was it, Oxygen? And I felt like those angels rolling to Sodom. I had to come and I had to see this for myself, that it was as bad as they said it was. And yes, it was. And they have mega millions of people following them, and they all messed up. That's why I don't want you to shout. I want you to hear. I want you to understand so that you don't become a casualty of this type of stuff. Y'all may hit me with a rock or two, but that's all right. Jesus. Okay. Yes, ma'am. John chapter 4, verse 31 and 34. Somebody read that for me. Come on, Trey. Stand up, nice and loud.
So the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him something to eat? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will.
period. That context is right after the woman at the well. She has gone into town, told them what Jesus has said to her, and soon after that, they're going to come back. So the he sent the disciples, they coming back, and they say, Master, you need to eat. And he said, wait a minute, something's more important than that. The souls of men are more important than that. There is coming now a flock, and my business now is not to eat my steak and potatoes. My business is to deliver the gospel to those who need it. It's all about priority. What's most important to you? Is it the soul of somebody, or is it my MMA fight that's coming on tonight? You know, I realized something with my wife that I've been talking to her. Man, not the way a Christian should talk sometimes. And I had rationalized to myself that, no, I gotta keep her in check somehow or another. Just hold on, sweetheart. Don't throw nothing yet. Listen, you all. And it kind of made me feel like this here. I got to straighten you out. You know what I'm saying? But the real thing is, if I really love my wife, I'm supposed to take care of her even emotionally. Now, that is a priority that's important to me, and it comes from the living God. He gave me a perfect apparatus, and I want to talk down to it. So what's important to you? And God made me a steward with this girl, and I'm not doing what a good steward should be doing. But listen, just like Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Spirit of God, now Billy is led into a right relationship by the Spirit of God. Right. Now, Lord, I can say, I'm sorry. Yes. I didn't reveal too much, did I? Man. Yes, I did. Okay, Audrey, thank you. Now, listen. I think sometimes we think the temptation actually just started, you know, with these three here. But he had 40 days of testing. 40 days of testing. And he come through like gold. After the 40 days were up, he was hungry. He was, after all, 100% human, wasn't he? And this says that he's not only God, he's also human. So he's hungry now. And as usual, when you, if you're a crafty person, you're trying to get somebody, you see when you see an opening and you go for that opening. But listen, God has so worked it out for us until the Spirit of God inside of us, even if we're kind of messed up in an area, he sure fix it up for us. Amen. He moves in. And listen, Jesus is very hungry. And he says, why don't you make some of these stones, turn them into bread? You all ever been to Lampert's? Oh, hey, amen. Yeah, the big old blueky rolls they throw across the room. Boom! If you're hungry, why don't you make one of these stones into one of these Lampert's rolls? Let me caution you, Christian, about wanting things outside of God's parameters. They throwing them across the room, boom! I remember I was out there, Brother Dan, and they throw them so hard and it's so accurate, one flew over my head. It flew over, the smell flew over. I say, man, that just about got my head. But listen, wanting things out of God's parameters is just like disobeying God. Amen. Listen, whoever you obey is who you call in master. Now listen, this is incredible. This is the Son of God who made everything and everybody. And now you're saying one of his creation is now trying to get him to get off course. Amazing. It's still in effect today. Jesus responds to him and says, man shall not live by bread alone. In other contexts, it says, but he shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Father. The Father didn't tell Jesus to make a stone into bread. Working outside of the parameters of God's will is not good. It may smell good like that big old throne roll, Pastor, but it won't be good. Amen. Now, when he got stepped on with that one, he rolled to another one. This gives us a principle that if you think you're going to be free from being troubled, you got another thing coming. If he attacked the Son of God, with these temptations, and they didn't stop, they just kept coming and coming and coming, what might be happening to you, you got a temptation, a test rolling around and stuff. You may have a minute where it's a cessation of action, but it's another one coming. What God is trying to get us to do, he's trying to get us so mature until we stop looking at the test. And we start looking at God. Because if I'm looking at God, the test is for my good. What you think he was doing to Job? He wiped out all of his stuff, all his children except his wife, because there are other plans for her. He wiped out everything. 42:6. Job 42:6, he says, I've heard of you by the hearing of my ear, but now I know you now because you brought me through. The tests won't kill you. The tests shape you into the image of Jesus Christ. The Bible says God is in the process of working all things together for the good. For those who love God and for those who are called according to his purpose. That's good. Didn't nobody go to sleep? I'm almost finished. Listen. After that, the next temptation. He shows Jesus in a moment of time all the kingdoms of this world. And then he says, after he shows them to him, he says, now I'll give all of this to you. The authority and the power of all these things here, I'll give them to you. If you will worship me. You only worship those things you should be. You only worship those things that are really higher than you. So how in the world can a created thing ask for worship when he's lower than the creator? All right. Ironic. And that just showed you how messed up Satan is. He's got it all out of sync. That's what sin do for you. It gets you out of sync, and you think you somebody you're really not. If you worship me, Jesus responds, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only will you serve. That didn't stop them. Took them to a high pinnacle of the temple. I think it's around the Kidron Valley and stuff, you know, where it's you could actually stand on the peak there. And I was actually doing a little bit of research. You can stand on the peak. And the guy who was actually doing the research said, if you have a fear of heights, don't go up there, because it's about a 450-foot drop. So somewhere around the Kidron Valley, he's up on the temple. Jump, jump, jump. The scripture says that God will take care of you. He won't let your foot be dashed up against a rock. Jump. And listen, if somebody else see you miraculously saved, they say, he's the Christ. He got to be the man. Doing things outside of God's timing. It's not, God don't need to reveal Christ's identity that way, because he reveals it whomever he wants to reveal it to by the Spirit of God. I'm getting whooped up here. Ain't no blood on the floor over there, is it? Amen. And an interesting thing is, go to Daniel chapter 2, verse 44 to 45. An interesting thing is, context is, Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. And the dream troubles him. And Daniel chapter 2, I think it's verse 41 to 44. The dream troubles Nebuchadnezzar. He asked for his counselors to come interpret the dream. They say, tell me the dream. They say, no, you better interpret the dream. I ain't telling you nothing. So they say, ain't nobody on earth can do that. They right. The only one that can really do that is the Spirit of God. Daniel hears it, goes, praise to God. God gives him the interpretation. And then he goes and talks to the king about his dream. Daniel chapter 2, verse 44 to 45. Somebody read that for me nice and loud. Go ahead. Hold on, Trey. He's going to do it. I get you.
Daniel 2, verse 44 to 45. And in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed, nor shall the kingdom be left to another people. It shall break in pieces all these kingdoms and bring them to an end, and it shall stand forever. Just as you saw that a stone was cut from a mountain by no human hand, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold. A great God has made known to the king what shall be after this. The dream is certain, and its interpretation sure.
This image, you all, represented the kingdoms of the world. From the head of gold all the way down to the toes that were mixed with iron and clay. In the reading it says, there was a stone cut out of a mountain, brother, and that stone actually rolled against, hit that image, and it broke it into pieces. Now, if that represents the world government, the only thing that's really going to stand is Christ's government. Did you hear what I said?
All right.
You offered me something that's going to be destroyed, number one, fella. And number two, it don't really belong to you. So that stone that was cut out without hands rolled against the image. Now all the world's governments are going to topple, period. My statement to you all is that you all trust not the governments of the world, that you trust the government that is coming that will be eternal.
Amen.
That's why I'm not worried about whether 401k is all right no more. I'm not worried about the health care law no more. I'm just concerned. Well, you know what? God's kingdom, he when we give like we in another kingdom. Did you hear what I said? We give like we're in another kingdom because we are literally in another kingdom by the Spirit of God. We need to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things that you're seeking will be added unto you. And I'll tell you, if you are led by the Spirit of God, your desires are no longer your old desires no more. He is by the Spirit of God giving you desires consistent with the kingdom of God. Okay. I think I spilled enough blood today. I'm through. And I don't mean your blood. I mean my own. Amen. 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 So wilderness tests don't kill you. They come to show your identity. They come to show whose you are. And they not only show you that, but they show the people around you that. And that's most important. Because we're here to witness to a dying world. And if you think you're going to get by unscathed and unscarred, you got another thing coming, according to the text. Remember, if I focus on God, I could go through the test. If I focus on God, the tests are to shape me into the image of Jesus Christ, period. Actually adhered, and you don't obey today, nothing's left on my hands. I've given you everything. And listen, you can win.
Amen.
You can win.
Yes, yes.
Jesus gives us an example. He overcame, and he makes us overcomers. You can win. You ask me, I know for sure. And it don't make no difference how many times you fall in. He'll pick you up and you can win. 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 Amen, Brother Dan.